Hey, it's Kyle Meredith, host of the Kyle Meredith With podcast, presented by WFPK at WFPK.org and the Consequence Podcast Network. It's a series that puts the spotlight on iconic musicians and actors, inviting them to drop by and talk about their latest projects, whether it's albums, TV shows, films, or beyond.
I'm going to say something I don't want to say. Here it goes. Without Spinal Tap, there is no Tenacious D.
Whoa. Man.
We get great stories and the biggest scoops from people like Garbage's Shirley Manson, the 1975's Matty Healy, Jack Black and Kyle Gass of Tenacious D, Maya Hawke, Kiefer Sutherland, and everyone in between. New episodes arrive every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones. You can find Kyle Meredith With on the Consequence Podcast Network or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. So I guess we'll just jump right in. And, you know, this list, I feel like this top 10 list for me changes almost every day, but usually the top five stays the same. It's pretty cemented. Number one isn't going anywhere, and that's for sure. It's John Coltrane, Love Supreme. For me, this record, I guess I heard it when I was in high school. I didn't necessarily know what was going on then, but it hit me in a way that definitely inspired me to try to figure out what was going on. And of course, Elvin Jones is really one of my heroes, and his playing on there is just magical. And the whole band, really, Jimmy Garrison and McCoy Tyner, who we fortunately just recently passed away. But yeah, I maybe this is the record I've listened to the most in my life. I keep returning to it every time I do. I hear new things. And yeah, what can I say? John Coltrane, Elvin Jones, my favorite musical team for sure. So number two is actually a live album. It's Bob Marley and the Wailers live at the Roxy. So this was 1976. And I'm a really big Bob Marley fan. You know, after Coltrane, it's probably Bob that I've heard the most. And, you know, really the entire discography from beginning to end is incredible. Incredible songs, incredible spirit, incredible message, incredible feeling. And but for me, this moment in the band's life is my favorite version. And it was recorded right here in a little club, not so little, but here in Los Angeles. And it's just amazing. And actually, it's right off the heels, just a month prior, Rasta Man Vibration got released. Which is my favorite studio album. So this period is really exciting for me. And of course, it's Carlton Barrett on drums, Carlton Barrett and his brother Aston, family man Barrett, playing bass. Probably my favorite bass and drum team. And again, yeah, I've worn this one out. It's really incredible. Number three was recorded in 1967, came out in 1968. And it features then 21-year-old Tony Williams. This is Miles Davis, Nefertiti. So, of course, this band, Miles' second great quintet with Wayne Shorter, who is from New Jersey, which is a very important detail, Herbie Hancock and Ron Carter. Really, again, the entire discography of this group is compelling, but for me, Nefertiti really stands out, and it's Tony's playing on the title track that really kind of changed my musical brain and made me think about how to play the drums with other musicians in new ways. So still definitely on my Mount Rushmore. All right, for number four, we'll take a little bit of a left turn. This record came out in 1996, and it's called Feed Me Weird Things by Square Pusher. So Square Pusher is a guy named Tom Jenkinson, and this was the first real electronic music that I had heard and fell in love with. Tom is a bass player, but he's playing everything on the recording, of course. And I just never really heard rhythms like this. I never heard energy in this particular way, and these sounds were really unique. I remember my freshman year in college, a friend gave me a burned CD of this, and really changed my life. Similar to when I heard, you know, John Coltrane the first time, or Tony, I didn't really get it in my brain, but something was going on in my body that the way it hit me that I knew I needed to investigate it. So that was really, this record, Feed Me Weird Things, was really a door that got kicked open and sent me down a whole new path. So number five is a record by Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers called Free For All. That was recorded in 1964. And, you know, there were many different versions of the Jazz Messengers, but for me, this is the one that resonates the most with me. Wayne Shorter again, and Freddie Hubbard and Curtis Fuller as the front line. And, you know, Mr. Blakey is a force to be reckoned with for sure. And, you know, particularly the second track, Hammerhead. For me, there's, in the drum community, there's lots of discussion about the shuffle, and there's lots of mysticism around the shuffle. But I have to say, for me, this track, Hammerhead, is the epitome of the shuffle. And, you know, his relentless, you know, attack of that groove is super inspiring. And again, this is one that I come back to all the time. So now that we got through the top five for 6 through 10, I tried to diversify a little bit, and I wanted to just speak about one of the records that was really important to me when I first started playing drums. I started playing in 1995, so I was just listening to the radio and watching MTV. Of course, around that time and the years prior, you couldn't miss Nirvana. You know, they were one of my favorite bands, and the record In Utero, so Nirvana In Utero, that came out in 93. And when I first picked up the sticks and started to try to play along to some stuff, this was definitely one of my go-to records, you know, along with Nevermind or along with Super Unknown, Soundgarden, which I definitely could not play any of those songs, that's for sure. probably still can't, because those are masterful parts. Anyway, shout out Matt Cameron. So Nirvana In Utero, for me, one of my favorite drum parts of all time is track 2, Scentless Apprentice. This is, of course, Dave Grohl, and that beat, the way that song starts is just, to me, that's as hooky as any melody, as any chorus in any of those songs. You know, it's really incredible. And I actually find myself playing that beat quite often. So there you go, Nirvana In Utero. So for number seven, we'll jump ahead a few years to 2001. And there's a record called Drux by Aphex Twin. This, just as I was starting to wrap my head around Square Pusher, I discovered Aphex Twin, and he equally blew my mind kind of out the other side. And still to this day, you know, both those guys are kind of the two pillars for me in the electronic music world that I love to investigate. And his name is Richard D. James, and similarly, he's performing everything on the record. And it's just fascinating. And again, a lot of those things in regards to the drum set are technically impossible to achieve, because it's not a drummer playing them, and there might just be too much going on to actually pull it off in real time. But I did spend quite a bit of time trying to pull it off, and happily failing. And I found that the ways in which I would fail would actually lead to some interesting results. So, I guess I'm saying it for every record, but I do return to this one a lot, and it's always a strong source of inspiration. So number eight is a record near and dear to my heart. It's by Brad Meldow. It's called Largo. So this was released in 2002. And for me, it was really the epitome of the musical worlds that influenced me the most. It was them coming together. So it was acoustic music and improvising, but with more of a beat culture and more, you know, part-based playing from the rhythm section, if you'd call it that. It features Matt Chamberlain, features Jim Keltner on a couple tracks, and Brad's drummer and his trio at the time, Jorge Rossi, amazing drummer. So, and there's even a couple tracks where a couple of the guys play together. And just to single out one, the title track, When It Rains, features this beautiful introduction by Brad, which, you know, solo piano could seemingly be off of one of his trio records, but really when Matt comes in and that beat comes in, it really becomes its own new world. And that was huge for me because I was a big fan of Brad's before that, but I didn't necessarily understand that language or that vocabulary so well in the trio context. But to hear it in this new environment, I really started to be able to, you know, put this stuff together and understand it a little better, I think. And just, yeah, produced by John Bryan, who's really a sonic mastermind. Incredible record. Amazing. All right, so for number nine, I wanted to try to think of something that came out in the last couple of years. And the first record that came to mind was LCD Sound System, American Dream. So LCD Sound System was really active, you know, in the 2000s, and then they broke up for a while and reunited, and this is the record they made. This came out in 2017. And the drummer is Pat Mahoney, great drummer. And it's James Murphy is kind of the kingpin of the operation and also the front man. But I met him because he, when we were working on Black Star, David invited him in for one of the weeks. We did like 3 1-week sessions, and James came in during one of the weeks as kind of producer idea guy, and was super inspiring and great guy. And, you know, after hanging out with him, I really kind of dove into the LCD catalog. And this one, American Dream, for me really stands out as great songs, and the production is incredible. And yeah, it's just one of my go-tos. And then number 10 is a bit different from the rest. It's a record called Pal Monte by Adonis and Osain Del Monte. And this is a group based in Havana, Cuba. And they are the premier rumba ensemble right now. And when I was down in Havana last year, was it? I got to see them live. My friends down there brought me to the club. I think the gig started at like, it went from like 1 a.m. to 4 a.m. And it was hands down one of the top 3 live music experiences I've ever had. And I can't even think of the other 2. So maybe it's number 1. but just to be safe, I'll put it in the top 3. It's very difficult to describe, and I am certainly not an expert. I really hope you can go check this record out. It's just percussion and voice and dance, which unfortunately we can't see when we're just listening to the record. But the band leader is Adonis, and he's a conguero, but at the live show, mostly he's singing and kind of conducting the ensemble. But it is just, yeah, it's, to me, being there in that room, it felt like this is what drums are. This is what drumming is. It encapsulated all the history of living man and its relationship to rhythm, but also had a foot in today's contemporary music and even looking forward. The energy was just incredible. And really, it's, I'm at a loss for sufficient adjectives to describe this music. Please check it out. I have been, again, it fits into that category of kind of don't know what's going on, and I can't stop listening to it. And I believe that some of the best learning takes place over time, as just, you know, the music gets absorbed into your cells and it'll just start to resonate in a different way. And I think that's why usually when I'm listening to something, I try to listen to my gut more than my brain, because if my body is feeling something in a particular way, I know I need to, you know, really get in there and see what's going on. So please check this record out.